I'm Joseph Kasser, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast. Today's podcast is slightly different. We're going back to the 1960s, and the AI team's going to take a look at Arthur Hall's classic, A Methodology for Systems Engineering. This book has been forgotten by most systems engineers. But as you'll hear when you listen to the podcast, you'll find that it contains what I call the A paradigm. Over to the AI team.
Welcome to the deep dive. You know, we're here to help you kind of sift through all your sources and find those little nuggets of gold, you know? And today we're going to be diving into a classic.
Oh, yeah.
A Methodology for Systems Engineering by Arthur D. Hall.
Right.
Now, this was published in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
So it might feel a little bit like we're dusting off, you know, kind of a vintage artifact.
Yeah.
But trust me, the wisdom in this book is surprisingly relevant even in our modern world today.
It's like finding one of those time capsules in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's full of these timeless principles. I mean, think about it. The world has changed so dramatically just since 1962.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the fundamental ways that we approach complex systems and problem solving, they still resonate with Hall's ideas.
So our mission today is to really kind of answer some key questions.
Okay.
What is systems engineering, you know, beyond the buzzword?
Right.
How does it work in practice and not just, you know, theory?
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly for you, the listener, what can you take away from this book that you can apply to your own work or interests, even if you're not an engineer?
I love it. Those are great questions. And you know what? Hall tackles all of those head on.
Okay.
Starting with a definition of systems engineering.
Okay.
That might seem a little bit dense.
Okay.
At first glance.
Right.
He says, systems engineering considers the content of the reservoir of new knowledge, then plans, and participates in the action of projects and whole programs of projects leading to applications. It considers the needs of its customers and determines how these can best be met in the light of all knowledge, both old and new.
Okay. I'll admit that's a mouthful.
It is.
It sounds almost philosophical in a way.
Right.
It's definitely not just, you know, equations and technical jargon.
No, it's not. It's really about bridging the gap between research, customer needs, and real-world solutions.
Yeah.
It's a blend of scientific understanding, empathy for the user,
mm-hmm.
and practical problem-solving.
Now, I know he uses the development of the microwave system as an example of how the expanding environment impacts systems.
Yes.
Can you break that down for us a little bit?
Absolutely. So you got to go back to the 1940s.
Yeah.
Okay. Bell Labs is developing this new microwave radio relay system.
Okay.
Called the TD2.
Okay.
Which was a major leap forward in long distance communication.
Mm-hmm.
Hall explains how its development was shaped by all these factors, not just the technical ones.
Yeah.
They had to consider things like signal fading, tower construction.
Right.
They even had to consider the availability of specific components.
Wow.
So it wasn't just about the technology itself.
Right.
It was about understanding and adapting to the entire environment
mm-hmm.
in which that system would operate.
And it makes me think about how much our technological environment has exploded since the 1940s.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The internet, smartphones, cloud computing.
Oh yeah.
I mean, all these things have forced us to constantly evolve how we design and build systems. It's like the environment itself is mm-hmm. a living part of the system.
It is a living part. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And that's where Hall's insights into defining problems, setting objectives, and adapting to constraints,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those become even more critical.
Okay.
He lays out a detailed process for systems engineering, and it all starts with defining the problem.
He makes it very clear that defining the problem isn't just a formality.
No.
It's the foundation of the whole process.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like laying the foundation of a house.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't build on shaky ground, would you?
No.
Getting the problem definition right is crucial.
Yeah.
Because if you're asking the wrong questions, you're going to end up with the wrong answers.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of wasted effort.
I mean, how often have you faced a problem that you just felt like you couldn't solve it?
Yeah.
And then you realize, I'm asking the wrong questions.
You are asking the wrong question.
Exactly. Yeah. Like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
That's a great way to put it. And then, you know, Hall introduces this concept of objectives compromising.
Okay.
Which basically means you might start with these ideal objectives,
right?
But then you have to adjust them based on real-world limitations and constraints,
Yeah.
you know it's about finding that sweet spot
Right.
between what you want to achieve
Yeah.
and what is actually feasible.
So we've defined the problem. We've set some realistic objectives. Where do we go from there?
Well, then we move into the stages of synthesis and analysis,
Okay.
which are really two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
Think of it like building with Legos.
Right. I like Legos.
Okay, so synthesis
Yeah.
is choosing the right bricks,
Okay.
but analysis is making sure they fit together
Right.
and they create a stable structure.
So synthesis is like generating potential solutions,
Yes.
exploring different possibilities.
Yes.
And analysis is evaluating those solutions against our objectives and our constraints to
Exactly.
see what works best.
Yeah. And that's where Hall adds another layer. He calls it countermeasure design.
Okay.
It's about anticipating problems before they even arise.
So instead of waiting for things to go wrong,
Right.
you're proactively identifying risks and vulnerabilities
Exactly.
and building in solutions to mitigate them.
Yeah. You're like a chess player, always thinking several moves ahead.
I like that analogy. So what's fascinating is that Hall really emphasizes that these stages aren't just for these massive, engineering projects.
No.
They're for all kinds of problem solving, whether you're designing a product, planning a project, or just trying to organize your day.
Absolutely.
It's about having a systems mindset, seeing how things are interconnected,
Yes.
and making decisions
Right.
that optimize the system as a whole.
Which brings us to another crucial element that Hall highlights,
Okay.
and that's the human factor.
Okay.
I mean, we can often get caught up in the technical aspects of things,
Yeah.
but systems ultimately interact with people,
Right.
and understanding human behavior is essential.
That makes a lot of sense. You know what? Before we dive into the human side of things,
Okay.
let's pause here and we'll pick up this thread in part two of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we left off talking about how important the human factor is in systems engineering.
Right.
It's easy to get caught up in all those, technical details,
Oh, yeah.
but, ultimately these systems are designed for people.
They are, absolutely. And Hall really drives this point home with his concept of the normal man.
Okay.
Now, the language might seem a bit dated, but what he's getting at
Yeah.
is that we tend to design systems for the average person.
Right.
But we also need to consider those who fall outside that average.
So it's about being inclusive in our designs,
Yes.
recognizing that people at the edges of the bell curve, they matter just as much. It's like, designing a website that's accessible to people with disabilities,
Right.
or creating a product that caters to a wider range of needs and preferences.
Exactly. And, to illustrate this, Al Hall uses the example of the transition from manual to dial telephones.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't simply a matter of just swapping out the technology.
Right.
They also had to manage the human side of things,
Yeah.
like training operators, educating the public, even addressing those concerns about job displacement.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It reminds me that whenever we're designing anything, whether
Yeah.
it's a product, a service, or even a presentation, understanding our users, our audience, our clients
Yeah.
is absolutely crucial.
Couldn't agree more.
We can't just focus on the technical aspects.
Right.
We need to think about how people are going to interact with what we create.
Absolutely. And that leads us to another really crucial aspect of systems engineering
Okay.
that Hall dives into, and that's needs research.
So this is where we really try to understand what our customers truly need even before product exists.
Yeah, it's like next level market research.
Okay.
It is, but it goes beyond traditional market research.
Okay. How?
Well, Hall poses some really insightful questions to guide this process.
Okay.
Like, what basic human need does this system satisfy?
Okay.
Who are your potential customers? How strong is the demand? And how will it change over time?
And remember, he also talks about these relentless human
Oh,
proclivities.
yes.
Such a great phrase
Yeah.
because it really captures this idea that, our creativity is constantly fueling new needs, which leads to this endless cycle of invention and demand.
It does. And that cycle is only intensified in our modern world.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Think about, the constant demand for the next big thing in
Oh,
technology.
yeah, always the next big thing.
The moment we satisfy one need, our creative impulses generate new desires, new demands, new opportunities for innovation.
So we've got a solid understanding of our customers' needs, both present and future,
Okay.
but the future is inherently unpredictable.
Right.
So how do we make decisions when we don't know what's going to happen?
That's the challenge, isn't it?
It is.
And Hall dedicates a significant portion of the book to exploring decision-making under uncertainty.
Okay.
You know, he distinguishes between risk,
yeah,
where probabilities are known or can be estimated,
okay,
and uncertainty,
mm-hmm,
where even the possibilities are unclear.
So it's like the difference between knowing the odds of rolling a six on a die,
right,
versus trying to predict the weather a month from now.
Exactly.
Mm.
Both involve chance, but the level of predictability is vastly different.
Totally.
Exactly. To illustrate this, he uses the stock market as an example.
Okay.
Where, you know, both risk and uncertainty are at play.
Right.
But this applies to so many decisions that we face in our lives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, choosing a career path, making a major purchase, even deciding where to live. I mean, these are all situations where they're navigating a future that we can't fully predict.
Absolutely, we can't predict it.
So how do we make smart choices when the future is so uncertain? I mean, does Hall offer any guidance?
He does. He introduces different decision criteria,
okay,
to help us navigate these situations,
mm-hmm,
each with its own logic and implications.
Okay.
One is called maximum expectation,
mm-hmm,
which is about maximizing potential gain while factoring in probabilities.
Okay.
Another is minimax regret,
mm-hmm,
which focuses on minimizing potential loss.
Right.
What you might miss out on if you choose wrong.
So it sounds like there's no one-size-fits-all answer here.
Right.
It depends on our individual decision-making style, our risk tolerance, and the specific context.
Absolutely. And, you know, this leads us to one of the most surprising,
okay,
and I think inspiring takeaways from Hall's book.
Okay.
He emphasizes that systems engineering isn't just about cold, hard calculations.
Okay.
It requires imagination.
Okay.
It requires creativity.
Yeah. That's not the first thing that comes to mind when I think of engineering.
I know it's not.
Usually I'm picturing spreadsheets and equations.
Right.
Not, you know, brainstorming sessions and creative breakthroughs.
Well, it's a common misconception.
Yeah.
Hall argues that creativity is essential for effective systems engineering.
Okay.
He even offers some practical advice on how to foster creativity.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is just as relevant today as it was back then.
All right. I'm all ears. What's the secret formula?
Oh, there's no magic formula.
Okay.
But Hall highlights the importance of a stimulating intellectual environment.
Okay.
He's a big advocate for group brainstorming.
That's
bringing together diverse perspectives,
mm-hmm,
to spark new ideas and breakthroughs.
Yeah.
And he emphasizes the role of motivation and passion in fueling creative thinking.
Right.
When we're genuinely excited about a problem.
Yeah.
When we're driven to find a solution.
Yeah.
Our brains just work differently.
It's true. When we're passionate about something, we naturally bring more energy and creativity to the table.
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, he cautions against these common creativity blockers.
Make it like what?
Like fear of criticism.
Yeah.
Getting bogged down in details.
Mm.
Clinging to conventional thinking.
Right.
All these things can stifle our creative impulses.
So it's like he's encouraging us to embrace a beginner's mindset.
Yes.
Approach challenges with curiosity and a willingness to experiment.
Yes.
And not let the fear of failure hold us back.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And he concludes this section on creativity with a really empowering message.
Okay.
Everyone has creative potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding what works for you.
Yeah.
What sparks your imagination?
Mm-hmm.
What helps you break free from those mental barriers?
I mean, we've covered so much ground here.
We have.
From defining the problem to understanding human factors.
Right.
Navigating uncertainty,
mm-hmm,
and even embracing creativity. It feels like systems engineering is about so much more than just building technical systems.
It is.
It's almost like a philosophy for approaching any complex challenge.
I completely agree. And it's a testament to the enduring relevance of Hall's work.
Yeah.
But there's one more crucial piece of the puzzle that,
right,
we need to explore.
Yeah, right.
One that ties all of these ideas together.
Okay.
And that's the concept of value.
Okay. I am officially on the edge of my seat time for part three of our deep dive into systems engineering. All right. So we've talked about defining problems and understanding human needs and navigating uncertainty and even embracing creativity.
Yeah.
But it feels like there's this bigger question looming. You know, what's the point of all this? What makes a system, you know, truly good?
Yeah. You've hit the nail on the head. That's where the concept of value comes in.
Okay.
You know, that's something that Hall explores in depth in the book,
mm-hmm,
recognizing that there's no single universal answer.
Right.
Value can be complex and subjective. But he gives us this framework for thinking about it in the context of systems engineering.
So how does he kind of break down this idea of value? Are there different types of value that we need to consider?
Yeah, he distinguishes between several types of value,
okay.
each with its own kind of nuances.
Okay.
First, there's economic value,
okay.
which is often the most tangible and measurable one.
Right.
It's about, you know, costs and profits and return on investment.
Yeah, the bottom line.
The bottom line, exactly.
Okay.
Then there's this idea of value in use,
okay.
which focuses on the utility or the benefit that a system provides to its users.
So economic value is about how much money a system makes or saves.
Right.
While value in use is about how well it actually serves the people who are using it.
Precisely. And Hall points out that these two types of value,
yeah.
they aren't always aligned.
Right.
You might have a system that's economically viable,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't actually provide much benefit to its users.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. So the challenge for systems engineers is to find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Where both economic and user-centric values are maximized.
It's like finding that balance between what's good for the business and what's good for the people who are actually using the system.
And it all comes back to our discussion about understanding customer needs.
Mm-hmm.
The deeper our understanding of those needs, the better equipped we are to create systems that deliver real value.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about building something that works.
Right.
It's about building something that matters.
Now, I know Hall also brings up this concept of sub-optimization.
Yes.
Which I found really intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does that mean?
Sub-optimization. It happens when we get so focused on optimizing one part of the system.
Okay.
That we kind of neglect the impact on the whole.
Yeah.
It's like trying to improve the efficiency of a single department in a company.
Right.
Without thinking about how those changes might affect other departments or the overall performance of the company.
So it's like having tunnel vision. Yes, we need to be able to step back and see how our decisions fit into the larger context.
Exactly. And that's where a systems engineering mindset can be so valuable.
Yeah.
You know, it encourages us to think holistically,
mm-hmm.
to consider those interconnections,
right, yeah.
and make decisions that optimize the entire system.
Yeah.
Even if it means accepting, you know, less than perfect solutions at the subsystem level.
Right. It's like that saying, don't lose sight of the forest for the trees.
Exactly. Hall's work really provides us with this framework, you mm-hmm. know, for thinking about complex systems, for defining problems, setting objectives,
yeah.
evaluating alternatives,
right.
and ultimately making decisions that align with our values.
So what does all this mean for our listener? You know,
yeah.
how can they apply these insights from a 1962 book to their lives today?
You know, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Even though this book was written, you know, over six decades ago,
mm-hmm.
the principles are timeless.
Yeah.
They're relevant to any field where you're dealing with complexity,
yeah.
interconnectedness.
Yeah.
and decision-making under uncertainty.
So whether you're building a product or managing a team or developing a strategy
mm-hmm.
or even just trying to organize your own life,
right.
the principles of systems engineering
yeah.
can help you approach challenges with a more strategic,
mm-hmm.
holistic,
yeah.
and value-driven mindset.
Couldn't agree more.
So if this deep dive has kind of sparked your curiosity,
okay.
I encourage you to explore further.
Yeah.
There's a wealth of resources out there on systems thinking.
Absolutely.
Take a look around.
Yeah.
What systems are you a part of?
Mm.
How could understanding these principles help you navigate them more effectively?
Yeah.
Happy diving.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. If you'd like to discuss any of the questions or anything that you heard in the podcast, or would like the team to do a deep dive into a different topic, please join the LinkedIn group and let me know. I look forward to providing you with many more deep dives into the applications of systems thinking. Take care.